Saturday, January 16th, Lenin and the Prime Minister, Rusk and Paul Martin, were together at the table for 8:30 breakfast, but Mrs. Pearson said she'd like to have hers on a tray, and I did the same. And then Mary Bundy and I went for a walk. The day was beautiful, crisp and cold and blue and gold, with the wind piercing us as we went north up the hill toward the foreman's house. Finally, we reached the Malachek's, went in and had a hot cup of coffee and listened to what the children were doing in their 4-H projects. Each of them has a lamb to raise. I wondered what Mary thought about this wholesome rural activity of being so excited about brushing and currying a little lamb and leading him around a ring by no halter, just with your hand under his chin. He has to be a very well-behaved little lamb to win one of the ribbons. Halfway back, we got the message that the party was about to leave, so we jumped in the Secret Service car and rushed home in time for farewells to Mrs. Pearson and the Prime Minister, to present her with an art book and to see them off out of the Jet Star with the press, which had been out at 10 o'clock to witness the signing of the joint communique and to be briefed by the Prime Minister and see the farewell, lingering on for a lengthy press conference with Lyndon, which gave me an opportunity to check with Mr. Klein on long-neglected housework. Did the wonderful cowboy hanging get put up at the Lewis? Did the bookcase get painted and taken there? And I found that one of the live oaks, the one where the road turns left right after you've crossed the dam and heads up toward the house, the one that nestles in the curve of the road, was losing all its leaves and apparently quite sick. I made a note to call Mr. Erb, the tree man. The trees are my favorite riches here at the ranch. I had rejoiced to see how deep Dale had plowed. Later he told me it was 30 inches in the Caliche Hill, north of the fence line, heading toward his house, where we hope in about February or March to sprig in the coastal Bermuda. And then began a very interesting part of the day for me. I had asked Mr. Elo Urbanovsky, a professor out at Texas Tech, who heads an unusual department for them, a department that trains students how to be park supervisors, park superintendents, park workers. There are only 4 such schools in the United States, and the people they turn out always have more offers for jobs than they can fill. I had asked Mr. Urbanovsky and a Mr. Gosden, the number 2 man in the Texas Park Department, to come out and talk to me. So, from about 11 to 1, I had a long session with them all about Texas parks, those divided between scenic parks, recreation parks, and historic sites, and the highway drive out and rest areas. I was interested from 2 aspects. First, I want to bone up, educate, brief myself on everything relevant to beautification, so that if I do try to be of some use in Lyndon's program, I'll be reasonably knowledgeable. And second, there's the Johnson City House to think of. Once it's completely finished and all the exhibits are arranged, I want to open it to the public, and I've set April as the target date. And at that time, it's going to become rather expensive, with possibly a guard, or certainly a guide or two, besides the upkeep of the large yard and the house. It'll be difficult to handle it all out of volunteer work by the very modest Johnson City Foundation, so I ought to consider whether it will be a first arm, a small beginning of a Johnson Library, and could therefore be turned over to the federal government, or whether it might become a Texas State Park. I explored the latter without getting very definite as to what I had in mind with Mr. Gosden. It doesn't look promising. The total budget for maintenance of Texas State Parks is $250,000 per year. John plans to up the expenditures for everything about parks, recreation, scenic, historic sites, roadside. He wants to create and enlarge and beautify. They gave me some highly interesting figures on what an important role in the economy of the United States tourism played. I can't remember, but the total dollars spent on tourism make it one of the country's biggest industries, and Texas only gets 1/50th of the bite. The mere size of Texas, its picturesque history, its diverse and wonderful scenery entitle it to a bite of, say, 1/10 or at least 1/20. We simply haven't gone about it in an aggressive fashion. Of course, there's always the legislature to deal with, and it's a long way between a vision and a reality. But John is trying to put it on the road. However, my immediate problem looks like it can't be solved by turning the Johnson City House over to the state of Texas as a historic site park. I asked them to stay to lunch, and there were two ladies left over from the press conference whose names I've forgotten that Lyndon had invited to stay. Afterwards, Mr. Urbanowski and Mr. Garsden and I rode over and looked at what may become the Texas State Park right across the highway from the ranch house itself. It has a few handsome live oaks and some cleared fields that will be wonderful if they're carpets of wildflowers, at least for a few months of the spring and summer they will be. But it's going to take imagination and ingenuity to produce a park we'll all be proud of. And then all the other people left, and it was just Lyndon and me. And we went to join A.W. and Mary Ellen in the helicopter and rode and rode and rode. Somewhere along the way, Jesse joined us. We went to see a beautiful new piece of land somewhere in the direction of Willow City. New in the sense that it's just recently gone on the market and A.W. has just heard about it. The death of the owner, some trouble over a will, the departure of somebody else to Montana had brought it to the market. It is alluring, so scenic, well cleared, better soil than the Lewis or the Logan, by far, and such lovely live oaks. I had visions of the coastal Bermuda waving in the breeze over it, but nevertheless, I'd be afraid to take the plunge and buy it. We're getting in awfully deep on land. We called the Melvin Winters to have dinner with us. As we rode, that we had that delightful sense of a last brief carefree day off, our very own hour before we were to go back to Washington and plunge into the inaugural and into the year ahead. It was just home folks dinner, and then I saw Gunsmoke, thinking by the time next Saturday comes, when and if I see it, the inaugural will be behind us.